Yesterday morning, struck up a conversation in the kollel that I sit in the morning with one of the chavrei kollel. He happens to be a friend of my son, and talking about various different discomforts, maladies that different people have. He told me he has a bad knee. And what do you do when you have a bad knee? So you get an x-ray, and you go to the orthopedist, and you get a recommendation as to how to deal with your bad knee. So in this country, at least, I don't know how it is in other places, but they always prescribe what they call midrasim. Midrasim are inserts into your shoes, molded to your feet properly. And if you have good insoles, inserts in your shoes, so then it's supposed to relax the pressure on your ankles, your knee. Kitzer, he tells me, didn't work. He goes, but something else did work. So what worked? He says, Timberland. Timberland worked. You know what Timberland is? I say, yeah, Timberland, you know, those are those big clunky boots or whatever it is. No, no, no. He points down at his shoes. Pretty yeshivisha looking pair of shoes. They look pretty comfortable. He says, it's Timberland. He says, but do you really know about Timberland? I said, no. He says, let me tell you about Timberland. So Timberland was on the verge of being poshet regel, going bankrupt. They were on the brink of bankruptcy, and then they brought in somebody to advise them, took a look at their product, looked at their shoes, and they said, you know, these shoes are really darn good shoes. You have a top-ranked product over here. So why is nobody buying it? You're charging way too little money. And so they upped the price by like twice or three times what they were charging before. And all of a sudden, Timberland is back in business. He says, now that's a big lesson for business. Why? Because people like to pay expensive prices. There is a certain psychology like that. You know what I mean? I paid $700 for my suit at Barney's New York. Oliver Shalom almost, but you know. People like to buy things when, you know, it's top of the line. Why? Because there's a certain sense of pride, certain gaiva. I belong to an elite club because I buy expensive things. But that's just pompous. But there really is a Musa Haskell that you could take from it, both in business, and business is usually a good mushel to real life. And that's the other way. And that is that if you have a top-ranked product and you're charging a half of what it deserves to be charged for it, and you're giving away at half the price, you're giving it away at a third of the price, you're selling yourself short. And when a person sells himself short, that's not yashrus. Yashrus means that you don't pump yourself up to be more than what you really are. That's called gaiva. I'm inflated like a balloon. But yashrus is also that when I am a certain size and I have a certain potential, if I sell myself short, that's also not yashrus. That destroys a human being. Other people will look at you in a way that's smaller than what you are. And unfortunately, it carries over to yourself. That is a very big lesson that we learn both from Yosef HaTzadik in an interesting type of a way, and also coming closer to Hanukkah, and something that we have to take back to ourselves as well. We move on to Yosef HaTzadik in this week's Parsha. Vayeshev Yaakov b'Eretz Megurei Yaviv b'Eretz Kanan. Yaakov lives in Eretz Kanan. Rashi brings the Medrash, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva, that Yaakov just wanted to take it easy already. I mean, wouldn't you? You run away from home, running away from Esav, you confront Esav, hey, like, give me a break, let's just chill a little bit. Kafatz Olav Regzeh Shel Yosef, all of a sudden the whole business with Yosef jumps upon him. Tzadikim Evakshim Leshev B'Shalva, Tzadikim, when they want to take it easy, it's not good enough that what you have an oil in my bar, but oil in my bar is for menucha. Oil in my bar is for chilling. This world is about work. I once got a bracha from Rosh Yeshiva. I won't go into the whole long story, but because there's something very, very unfortunate happened to me during my first year of marriage, and it was a real schlep. And he gave me a bracha that I should have 120 years of such tzaras, because that's what life is all about. So far, it's been mekuyim pretty good. I hope it doesn't get any worse, but that's what it is. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, not the first. That's what happened with Yaakov, and so far, nothing close to what happens with Yosef. In any case, that's the first pasuk. But the pasuk goes on, Ela told us Yaakov Yosef. These are the tolls of Yaakov Yosef, and Shvasre Shonav Ayaroye Esechov Batzoin. He's a shepherd with his brothers, with a tzoin, Behu Nar. And he's a youth. As B'nai Billa, he hung out with B'nai Billa. As B'nai Zilpa, also B'nai Zilpa, B'nai Ashvachis, B'shei Aviv. V'yavi Yosef Dibasim Ra'al Aviyam. He goes and he tells his father all the scoop about his brothers, what he's got to give him Musaf for, B'seder. Rashi says, Behu Nar, quotes the Medrash Rabbah, that Yosef was very into how he looked. He did what young people do. Metakein besaroi. He curled his hair. Memashmesh be'enav. That's surprising, whatever it is. He played with his eyes. He made sure that his eyes looked really sharp. K'deshiyeh nira yafe. So he should look good. That's what it means, v'hu nar. And then the pasuk goes on, Es b'nei bilha. You take a look at the medrash. The medrash puts them together. The medrash says that Yosef was a nar, that he took care of his hair, he took care of his eyes, how he looked. And then it says in one fell swoop over there, it says Es b'nei bilha, Es b'nei zilpa, that he stuck around with the b'nei ashfachas. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, wrote a sefer on Chumash, really drushes. It's called Apirion. And over there he brings a very interesting question. He says, seemingly, you have two different dinim over here. You have one din that Yosef was a person who was Mesasal Besaroi. On the other hand, you also have the fact that he hung around with the B'nai Ashvachas. The Midrash puts them together. Asks the Apirion, what do the two things have to do with each other? On one hand, he takes care of himself. On the other hand, he's with the B'nai Ashvachas. How do we put the two together? And then he comes and he asks another question, which is also asked by the Yafei Tayar, one of the Pirushim on the Medrash Rabbah. He asks basically, Yosef, what are you doing playing with your hair? What are you doing playing with your eyes? I mean, whatever you want to say, the Bali Musar will tell you that it's on a level of Dake Dakis. It was on a very small level. But you have a Gemara. It's a Medrash. The Medrash says, Ein Yetzahara Mahalech Ela Be'emtza Platya. The Yetzahara, when he wants to get somebody, he's in the middle of Rishus Aravin. U'b'shashu Roya Adam Imashmesh Be'enav. When he sees that a person is playing with his eyes, he's trying to make sure that he looks good. Who Aymer, the Yetzirah says, Hadin Didi. That guy's mine. How could Yosef go ahead and do something that he makes himself, pray for the Yetzirah? So two questions. Number one, what does the fact that Vuhu Nar, what does that have to do with the fact that it's B'nai Billa, B'nai Zilpa? And number two, how could Yosef put himself in a matzav where he was prone, he was prey to the Yetzirah? Put it all together, and the appearance is a beautiful, beautiful pshat about Yosef, but it also gives us a Musar Haskel about not selling ourselves short. But one of the most tragic figures, at least in my mind, in the whole Tanakh, is Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech is a person who, before he's appointed king and he's the first Melech Yisrael, he's described as Mishichmai Ulamala, which means he was physically tall, he's 6'8". But Mishichmai Ulamala also means that spiritually he was a cut above everybody else. At the same time, despite the fact that he was so great, Shaul is described, or really it's a scene that he was Nechba al-Akelim. that when they were looking for Shaul, you know, he was back out in the, you know, on the storage facility over there. He was wasn't making anything big about himself. Comes and sits in this room, you know, during Seder or whatever, hides away from everybody else. Doesn't want to make a big deal out of himself. So that's Shaul HaMelech. And he's designated to be the first king. Awesome personality. But Shaul has a sad ending. In the end, he doesn't kill Eglon, he doesn't kill Agag, Melech HaMelech. He doesn't do what he's supposed to. And the Navi Shmuel tells him, Halayim katan ata beinecha. If you're small in your own eyes, in other words, he looked at it as a lack of, call it self-confidence, call it self-esteem, call it proving himself, Roy Shifte Yisrael Ata. You're still the head of Shifte Yisrael. You have to act in a way which later on it says, by your shafat, the Pasuk says, in Divrei Hayamim, Vayigbal Levi, that his heart was high. There was a certain pride, a certain haughtiness. Not grandiose, but just holding himself. And because of that, Shaul HaMelech is a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm nim'as mimenu, that I can't handle him as king anymore. When he doesn't hold himself in a way that's high enough, he can't be the king. That's the tragedy of Shaul HaMelech. I remember my first year bachur in yeshiva, Rabbi Shurkin, believe it or not, spent Shabbos in yeshiva. I remember what he spoke about on Shabbos morning. He asked the question, I mean, maybe he's not the first to ask it, but you know, everybody talks about little Har Sinai was so very small, like the song goes. And they picked Har Sinai because Har Sinai was humble, and asked Rabbi Shurkin, Nusa, do it in a valley. So why don't we have Maimon Har Sinai? Why don't we have Kabbalah Sotera in a valley, right? Beneath ground in a tunnel. Elamai, what do you see? Okay, fine. So Talmud Chacham, you have to have a little bit of pride. You still have to be a mountain. And in a certain way, that's what the Apirion says over here. That's what the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says as well about Yosef HaTzadik. Says Lemaisa, there's a stira in Hanhaga. The Gemara says in Brachis that a Talmud Chacham ein yitzin b'tloy al manaleim. You can't have patches on your shoes. And nowadays, okay, fine. What it means is today it means you have to have new shoes. You have to have nice shoes. You can't be like the Hamonam who have patches on their shoes. And you're like, a Talmud Chacham has to be dignified. Talmud Chacham shenimtzer revav al bigdei chayev misa. That's pretty stiff. A little grease stain chayev misa. Take it literally, take it figuratively, but you got to be sharp. But on the other hand, if you're misasal besaroi, so then you belong to the Yetzirah. Says the Apirion, it depends why you're doing it. If you're doing it to make something out of yourself and you have to wear a suit from Barney's because that's the whole you, then you belong to the Yetzihara. But if you're doing it because of the fact that you have to project a certain image based on who you really are, so then that's perfect and great and that's not selling yourself short. But what does it have to do with B'nai Bil or B'nai Zilpah? That's the litmus test. How can you tell whether somebody is dressing up because of the fact that they want to be part of high society or whether it's just because of the fact that they have to dress that way because of who they are? Look who their friends are. If the guy is dressing a certain way, if the guy is wearing a $700 suit because he wants to make himself into something, you'll be assured that he's not hanging around with the B'nai HaShvachis. He's going to be rubbing shoulders with all the high people in town. He's going to make friends in high places, and he's going to try to make himself into the most chashuv guy in town. But if a guy has empathy, that he hangs around with the people who are downtrodden, he encourages them, and those are who his friends are, but he's dressing a certain way, he's being misalsal besarai because of the fact that he's a chacham and he has to do that, so this is a very, very good person. He's just trying not to sell himself short. He's trying to act the part. And if he doesn't do that, that's a lack of yashrus. That's what the Apurian says, and that's the lesson that he takes from Yosef HaTzadik. For him, Vuhunar was not the kitshrug, it was not a downside. He was projecting the image of a Talmud Chacham, that a Talmud Chacham has to be dignified. A high-level person has to be dignified. And if you're not, so then you're downgrading yourself, you're downgrading the person that you really are. It's a question that always comes into my mind at this time of year, Hanukkah. The Yevanim were into human greatness, the human mind, Greek philosophy, human beauty, art, aesthetics, human power, sports, the Olympics. If you want to put it into two words, you know, in Yeshivish Shprach, you would say that the Yevanim were into godless Adam. The problem with that is that anybody who's familiar with the Musar movement, or the yeshiva world a little bit, realizes that there's another movement that's also into godless Adam. Slabodka. Slabodka Musar was all into godless Adam. You have to dress like, you know, a shtari guy. You have to hold of yourself. Here in Eretz Yisrael, yeshivas chevron, they go with the same schnit. Although sometimes people will tell you that it's closer to Yavin than to Slabodka, but whatever, okay. What's the difference? What's the difference between Yavan godless Adam and Slabodka godless Adam? And it's this very aside. Yavan's godless Adam is basically that I'm great because I'm great. Where does it come from? There's no Tzelem Elokim. There's no image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I'm just pumping myself into something that's just... And the Rosh Hashiva always quotes, it's all flowers, but there's no substance to it. Slabodka is you're at Tzelem Elokim. If you're at Tzelem Elokim, so then you have to dress a certain way. You have to hold yourself a certain way. You have to realize your own potential. And if you don't, you're downgrading what you essentially are. People have to be ambitious. But being ambitious doesn't mean that you have to have ambitions to be better than other people. Ambitious means is that you realize what your own potential is, you realize that you're at Tzelem Elokim, and you have to live up to it. You have to use every minute of your life to make yourself into the person that you're supposed to be. You have to make yourself into a mensch. I just end off over here that when a person is ambitious and a person realizes that, you know, that he can't sell himself short, what exactly are we talking about? So I always like to mention Rav Gifter had a great zug. He says, you know, people, there are certain people in the yeshiva world that think that the purpose of life really is, I can't say it as well as him, but, you know, the purpose of life is to be a goyin. That's what I'm here for. I have to be a goyin. Other people will tell you that the purpose of my life is to be a tzaddik. I want to be the biggest tzaddik. I don't know if he said this, but it fits in this base measures. The third people will tell you that the point of my life is to be a lamdin. Rav Gifter said they're all wrong. The point of my life is to be a mensch. The point of my life is to be an elevated, great human being. Good human being, and then maybe great human being if I can make myself closer to a malach. He said, now in order to be a mensch, in order to be a great human being, I might have to become a gayin, I might have to become a tzaddik, I might have to become a lamdin. But that's not the point of it all. The point of it all is to actualize my tzelem elokim and to become a mensch. And a person should never sell himself short. We're moving into Chanukah, where we can focus on the difference between real godless Adam and fake godless Adam. Real godless Adam is realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you a unique personality, and it's for everybody to build up and to develop through their lifetime. No two are the same. There's no competition, because no one can compete with anybody at being you. But your job is not to sell yourself short, and to realize your awesome potential. Take it from Timberland, that if you sell yourself short, then no one's going to buy from you. You won't buy from yourself. That's the ultimate tragedy. But if you realize how high your stock should be, so then that's what makes you into a great person. Rabbi Baruch Ber said that he became Rabbi Baruch Ber because he was trying to be Rabbi Akiva Eger and not Rabbi Baruch Ber. If he was trying to be Rabbi Baruch Ber, he says, I don't know if I would have ended up being anything. It's a mushroom. We're not Rabbi Baruch Ber, we're not Rabbi Akiva Eger, but each one of us is our own unique individual. And never ever sell yourself short. Shoot for the stars, Be'ezus Hashem, and get there. Have a good day.